Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Amos, chapter 10, chapter 7, verses 10 through 15. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile, away from their native land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, "Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there, and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that you would help us to look for you in unexpected places and unexpected people so that we may follow your way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, during my first year at seminary, it was not hard to develop some type of inferiority complex. I can remember sitting in class with third-year students. The seminary normally takes about 3 years. I was sitting in a New Testament class, and they were talking about some passage in Mark. And as they were talking about, I was thinking, holy cow, these people are geniuses. They were making connections I never have dreamed of, blowing my mind every class. How did you come up with that? You mean Jesus' middle name was not Herbert? What? On top of that feeling, I lived on a campus with a few so-called golden children. These were the kids of well-known and well-respected Presbyterian pastors. Their daddy was a pastor. Now, mommy was a pastor. Grandpappy. Great-great-grandpappy. And so on and so on. And you would look at them and you would think that they were some type of a scientist in a lab had created the perfect Presbyterian pastor. And here they were. They were bright, funny, smart, good looking, and they had the pedigree. And here I was, this skinny boy, not from North Carolina, but from Virginia, the son of two x-ray techs, with no preachers in my family. And it was hard not to feel like they had something on me, even from the beginning of seminary. And in comparison to these golden children, I had no business being a pastor. Perhaps you have had this feeling sometime in your life, like you had little to offer anyone, that you had nothing to contribute. I imagine that the prophet Amos struggled with the same feeling. When God called Amos to be a prophet, he was busy tending to herds of cattle. And on the side, he was what was called a dresser of sycamore fig trees. Sycamore trees in Palestine, very different from our American or European varieties, were related to the fig tree, and they produced a small fruit that was often had to be pierced to induce ripening and protect them from wasps. Amos would pierce the skins of these small fruits and the sycamore trees all around Palestine for others to harvest. Amos did not come from a long line of prophets. Nor was he the part of the elite class of royalty. He was what we would call in political terms today an outsider. Not part of an institution, nor did he have any type of pedigree. He was just a regular person. And yet God picked this herdsman, this dresser of sycamore trees, to speak God's word, telling Israel to get their act together. God certainly lifts up people from strange places. And you would think that God would have certain qualifications, certain standards for those whom God calls. But no. They can emerge from any walk of life, any race, creed, culture, persuasion. This is not only Amos' story, it belongs also to Mary, the mother of Jesus, to the Apostle Paul, to King David, to Abraham Lincoln, to Martin Luther King Jr., to Nelson Mandela. God put these people, these unexpected people, to work. People you never would have thought were going to be working to God's kingdom, and yet they were. And this is good news for us. If God can take a sycamore tree dresser to spread the gospel, then God can put you to work for the kingdom. If God can turn a murderer into a church planter extraordinaire in Paul, then God will give you the words to witness to the love of Christ. And if God can use a 25-year-old green Baptist pastor in Montgomery, Alabama, to lead the civil rights movement, then God can use you to bring significant change to this community. This is not about having the right pedigree or going to the right schools or having the right parents or being born and raised in the county. God can take any of us, even you who are convinced you have nothing to offer, even you who feels too broken to be of any use, even you who feels like an outsider, and transform you into a witness and servant for Christ our Lord. When Amos was preaching his difficult words to Israel, and to its king, the king's chief of staff accuses Amos of raising a conspiracy against King Jeroboam and the very heart of Israel. The only conspiracy that Amos was raising belonged to God. Amos exercised his prophetic voice to call out Israel's social and economic inequalities. The wealthy elite were taking advantage of the poor and the widowed in Israel at that time, and they allowed greed to cloud their care for neighbor. God's words through Amos challenged the way of life that many had become accustomed to in Israel. The excess, the injustice, the oppression was unsustainable. And the conspiracy God raised in Israel was a plan for this oppression to come to an end. As Christians, I wonder what it means for us to be raising God's conspiracy in this community. You all know what's broken here in this county, in this town. You talk about it to yourselves. You read about it in the papers. Drug epidemic. Broken families. Cycles of poverty. All these things that have contributed to our county and feeling that brokenness. I have only been here just under a year, and I have felt it to my very soul. And you don't have to look far to see it. So I wonder what it means for us as Christians to be raising a conspiracy. A conspiracy against This brokenness, domestic abuse, lack of employment opportunities, cycle of poverty. God may be calling you to exercise your prophetic voice, to speak against this stuff, those who are witnessing in this community, in your workplace, in the public forum. And I'm not talking about being cynical, because it's so easy for us as Christians to just look at the bad stuff and go, oh, that's bad, that's bad, that's bad, and that's all we do. A prophetic voice given by God seeks to speak out with love and grace against hatred, to speak a path of wholeness, not just to complain. Speaking prophetically means that it's not just being difficult. We're not just being jerks. We're seeking a way forward, a way of hope. So whether you are a golden child or a sycamore tree dresser, God is opening your ears to hear, your eyes to see the brokenness all around us. And God is putting you to work to start building the kingdom, to witness to Jesus Christ, and to raise a conspiracy that seeks to bring hope and light beyond our walls. Our tendency is to distance ourselves from those voices that are speaking to us. To say, I'm not part of the problem, therefore I don't need to worry about it. Distance ourselves from those prophetic words that we are hearing every day. Stop distancing yourself. Listen to them. Open your eyes so that we as a church can continue to serve this community. And not just point things out that are broken, but to honestly bring hope and joy and love to all the brokenness we experience. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.